Rev it up and welcome to Cars Yeah, show number 2345. Today we're going to have some fun, a little preview to what's coming up in August during Car Week with RM Sotheby's and some of the amazing vehicles they're going to have available. Be prepared to be inspired.
This is Cars Yeah, where you'll enjoy interviews with inspiring automotive enthusiasts. Mark Green is here to provide you with a fuel injection of automotive inspiration. So get in, sit down, buckle up, and get ready for a wild ride here on Cars Yeah.
Hello, inspiring automotive enthusiasts, and welcome to Cars Yeah. Today I'm in Ontario, Blenheim, actually in Canada, with a very special returning guest. You'll remember him from a year ago, January, Gord Duff. Gord, welcome back to Cars Yeah. Do you have any gear, and are you ready to release the clutch?
I am. I'm ready to go, Mark.
And what I should say is, do you have the bitter paddles ready to hand out? Because today, we're going to have fun talking about what's coming up in August during Car Week with RM Sotheby's premier auction house and some of the very special cars that you guys have lined up. You always seem to have the best cars. And before I give you a more proper introduction, if I could ask you this, what's the one most exciting thing that has got you fired up for these auctions coming up in August about RM Sotheby's?
You know, I think it's bringing interesting cars that haven't been seen before to market. Our team working to find the coolest stuff to bring to market that, you know, people weren't necessarily aware of before.
Well, you guys are masters at doing that. And this year, oh my gosh, we've got quite a lineup to talk about today, and I'm excited to give my listeners a preview here. Let me introduce you, which will set the tone, and then we'll take a deeper dive into some of the cars here. Gord Duff is Global Head of Auctions for RM Sotheby's, the world's premier automotive auction house. He and his team conduct auctions around the world, and this summer, they return to Monterey for the 26th time with an amazing selection of vehicles, including the iconic Steve McQueen Ferrari, a 275 GTB4, oh my, a significant private collection of rare European design cars, plus RM Sotheby's unveils a once-in-a-generation collection of barn-find Ferraris they've aptly named the Lost and Found Collection. And if that's not enough, they'll offer the estate of notable collector Terence E. Adderley that brings blue chip a Duesenberg, a Bugatti Cord, Rolls-Royce, just to name a few. Gord began his journey with RM Sotheby's back in 1998, and today he's an essential part of RM Sotheby's with an instinctive understanding of the collector car industry. We'll learn more in just a moment, but first a word from our sponsors, so give them a little love. Get your bitter card ready. We're going to have some fun today, and we'll be right back. Years ago, when it was time to renew my collector car insurance policy, my carrier's rates went up. Way up, but my usage was the same and I never made a claim. I didn't even have a ticket. So what's with that? So I turned to American Collectors Insurance. Has your collector car insurance recently raised your rates for no good reason? Tired of paying an annual membership fee? Then it's time to look around and call American Collectors Insurance. I shopped around, I asked friends for recommendations and found a winner that I can trust. And boy, I'm glad I did. I saved hundreds of dollars every year and slept better at night knowing my baby was properly insured. American Collectors Insurance have been protecting vehicles since 1976. They provided me with an agreed value insurance policy backed by their history of taking great care of their clients. What could be better than that? So give them a call and ask for a quote today. 866-ACI-YAH. That's 866-224-9324. And protect the ones you love, like I did with American Collectors Insurance. Classic car insurance designed by collectors for collectors. For several years now, you've heard me talk about Linkage Magazine. I've been a subscriber since the start. Their talented and creative team brings you a spectacular publication and website that shares the automotive passion from a worldwide perspective. Linkage is about driving, restoring, collecting, and firsthand experience at collector car auctions and more. They bring you real-world values plus rational, experienced opinions on the current markets. They cover the automotive world and the people who share our passions. And Linkage Magazine has grown, mailing you 6 issues annually. Join me on this journey with Linkage. They're geared for the automotive life. You can subscribe at linkagemag.com. So, Gord, we are back. So, following on the heels of last year's Monterey sales, which I believe were around $239 million. Do I have that number right?
Yeah, it was right around there. That was a world record for our company and auctions as a whole. There had never been a classic car auction that had done that kind of value before.
Absolutely incredible. And this year, I want to have you walk us through some of the really unique vehicles that you're going to bring to market and make available to people. And of course, I want to start with a Steve McQueen, a 1967 Ferrari 275 GTB4. Of course, Steve McQueen is known for having a lot of very cool cars, but tell me a little bit about this one.
You know, I'd say in the Ferrari world, it's one of the most iconic 60s road-going Ferraris there is, and he had a number of great cars, but this 275 GTB4 he bought brand new, and we've actually had the pleasure of, we sold this car once before back in, I think it was around 2014, so it's great that the current owner is entrusting us back with the car again to be offering it to the next caretaker. But I think as far as 4Cams go, this is the best of the best and kind of the top of the pile, so to speak, is to somebody wants one with some celebrity provenance, this is as good as it gets.
Well, I guess so. And it's pretty cool that it's coming back from the person who bought it from you before. That's a great feather in your cap to say that this was a wonderful experience. This is going to be cool. Any guesstimates? I know you guys make some estimates on what you think cars were sell for. What am I going to have to pony up for that one?
The car's going to have an estimate of 5 to 7 million, but it wouldn't surprise me if it supersedes the high estimate and ends up bringing potentially a record number for the car.
I think it might, yeah, very well, especially with that kind of provenance going on. And I was going to save this question for later, but I want to ask it now. In the last year, since last year's Monterey auctions, overall, what are you seeing in the marketplace? Because it seems like to me, the throttle has not been let up on at all when it comes to collector cars.
No, I'm thankful for our company and, you know, this business. It's been really, really strong. We had a great end of the year last year with sales in Munich, Germany in November. And we did a one-off sale in Miami in a parking garage in December that surpassed all expectations. And we started off this year with Scottsdale having record numbers and our Paris sale doing very well. And we just had a no reserve collection of mostly Ferraris at our Villa d'Este auction back in May that did extremely well. We sold, I think it was 12 Ferraris, 14 cars, all without reserve for one gentleman, and prices remain very strong. And going into Monterey, I mean, we've got some great early features and we're working over the next couple of weeks to finalize things, but, you know, expect to see another very strong sale from us again this year.
No doubt. What would you attribute to how things are still strong? Because the economy in general has been a little loosey-goosey and up and down. Inflation is affecting people. Of course, people that are buying cars in this range, I'm not sure they're really affected by that too much. However, what would you say is the key factor in this market as far as collector cars still being so strong? Is it generally people wanting to diversify assets and putting money in different places? Or does it go back to the same old adage that if you have some money to invest, put it in a car because at least it's fun. You can look at it, you can drive it, you can enjoy it.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of all of that. And over the last few years, there's been, you know, a lot of people that have also made a lot of money coming out of COVID, and a lot of businesses were very strong throughout that. And even though interest gone up, we're cautiously optimistic, but it hasn't seemed to affect our side of the business that much. Yeah. You know, people feel willing to spend, whether it's, you know, $150,000 on a car or $4 million on a car. So yeah, I think people want to kind of enjoy their money more.
I think so. Yeah, maybe that's part of it. So let's move on to another pretty cool car. It's a 2021 Ford GT Heritage Edition. It's one of only three that was delivered new to Canada. I mean, these four GTs, you go back to the 07-08 version and this new version, which is just eons ahead, I think, in not only looks and design and what it does, but tell us a little bit about this one.
You know, I think with the 05-06s, you still see the premium today on the, especially the Heritage Editions, that they're still commanding 30% more than just a standard car. So I think people wanting one of the newer GTs would lean in towards buying a Heritage that's a more limited edition, knowing that, you know, their money's safe for one, and two, it's nice to have, you know, a spec that there's only a couple others out there. driving around, so your, you know, chances of you taking this car out and seeing another one just like it are slim to none.
Yeah, pretty much. No kidding.
They're a safe place to put your money in an old car if you're into them, because the 05s and 6s, I mean, they're never going to go back to 150, 200 grand like they were. They've kind of found their level at that 400 to 600 range, depending on the car. And, you know, over time, I think they have a ways to go. And I think looking at that, you can feel good about buying one of these cars that, one, they're super cool and iconic. They're going to be easy to maintain down the road. They're not going to have the batteries. They're not going to have a lot of the electronics. They're very simple to work on. So, you know, these aren't cars that you let it sit for 5 years. You got to go spend 40 grand to service it, you know, and it's only done 5 miles in that time. They're very practical in the supercar world.
Yeah, they're a Ford. So there you go. But they sure are cool. Now, you also have some really rare European design cars that are going to be available. And one of them is a 328, a 38 BMW, but it's a competition roadster. Tell me about that.
They only built three competition roadsters. So I believe this car was ran new in the Mille Miglia. So for the eligibility side of things, it's a super important car. It's restored to Concours quality. Like the car doesn't need anything, and it's got the pedigree to either do the show circuit or do any kind of tours or rallies that someone might be interested in. And it's one of three. And, you know, at the end of the day, with all these cars, the production numbers really drive value, rarity within the car market. So it's nice to bring a one of three to auction as opposed to just a 328. You know, standard road car.
And you say just a 328. I mean, you don't see too many of those around anyway. But when you get into a competition roadster, even more cool. And then there's a 55 Ferrari 250 Europa GT Coupe. Tell me about that one.
Coming from the same collection, a group we got from a great client of ours that we're going to be offering. And again, beautifully restored, Classic K certified. It's done the Colorado Grand a number of times, among other rallies. And it's for the value of the car, even though we're talking about something in the $1.5 million range for a 50s vintage Ferrari, in the quality it's in and being able to do the type of events you can do with the car, it's very good value.
Nice car. Well, Ferraris are always winners when it comes to the collector car market. And speaking of Ferraris, you have what you guys are calling the ultimate barn find, 20 Ferraris, quote unquote, lost in time. Can we walk through a couple of these cars? Because, I mean, there's 20 of them here, and I'll put links on the website for Gord's show notes page here on the Cars Yeah website, where you can go and see what these cars are. But perhaps I can have you touch on a few of the cars in this collection that stand out for you.
There's a number of them that are super special. I think the one I like the most is we have a 56, a 250 GT Coupe SGL. It's only one of four coupes that were built with Super America styling. It was for the King of Morocco at the time. It's in an interesting color scheme, and it's dead original. Still has the original leather on the dash, the original leather on what's left of the seats. The paint is still there, even though it's a lot of it has been rubbed off it, so to speak. But I think it's a super important car, and I think there'll be a lot of people that love to do restorations, and this is a car that makes sense to buy and put the money into it to bring it back to what it was new.
That was going to be my question. Do you think the person that buys this car will do that? There's always this back and forth between collectors of originality and restored cars. This car's, you know, it's, I don't know how you describe it. I mean, if you look at the pictures, and again, you listeners can go and look at it. Yeah, it looks like it's been sitting around for a little bit. It's got some rust on the surface, and the blue paint is pretty faded. But do you think that's what will happen with this car? It'll end up being restored?
Yeah, I mean, there's always that restoration versus preservation. And in my mind, this isn't really a preservation type car. It's a solid car and it's all there. But in my eyes, it's kind of beyond the point of preservation. So it's something that I could see somebody, you know, restoring and being a custom coach built type car makes more sense. You know, if it were a race car, maybe just a regular four cam or something like that. I think it's just a bit too far gone for, you know, the preservation side of things. So in my mind, I'm buying it to restore it.
I would agree. And since we're on that topic, I have to talk about the 54-500 Mondial Spider that you have, because this is one of those interesting vehicles, But I'll let you describe it.
I've been reading some of the comments people have made online on this car. And obviously, if you're not in our world, people just can't fathom that it's worth what we have it estimated at. But people within our world know that there's been many cars that have kind of been restored and have been back on the lawn at some of the major concours that started with less than what we're showing here.
Yeah, sometimes just a vintage.
It can be. It obviously needs lots of work and there's going to be a lot of fabrication needed, but I think it's kind of one of those cars that it's either going to sell perhaps on the cheap side or it's going to shock all of us and bring a lot more money than anybody would have expected because two people have to have it and want to go through the restoration process to, you know, kind of bring this back to what it was. And I can't remember how long it's been sitting in this collection, this specific car, but it's one that probably a lot of people didn't even realize still existed, you know, because it's been hid away for, I'm sure it's 40, 50 plus years.
Right.
But there's lots of cars that show up to restoration shops with a lot less than, you know, what we're selling here. And, you know, the public never gets to see something like this get auctioned off or come to public market. It's kind of just, you know, they're always sold quietly and then restored and they show up and they're beautiful. But yeah. A lot of, not a lot, but what some race cars can look like before they get sent to a restoration shop.
Yeah, absolutely. And while we're on that topic, we should have led with this. Could you talk a little bit about where this collection was found? Because interestingly, I understand it was in downtown Indiana.
The cars have been residing in Indianapolis, in the Indianapolis area for the last 25 years, kind of, but they were in Florida for a long time before that. And people in the Ferrari world would be aware of these cars, but there was I forget which hurricane it was.
I think it was Charlie.
Charlie.
Yeah.
They were all in a barn that, you know, the hurricane came through and blew the barn down and the building fell on top of all these cars that had been sitting in there. And some of them, I think from the early 70s had been kind of hid away. So I think that's when locally anyways, and I'm sure it blew up in different places around that, you know, holy crap, there's a bunch of Ferraris sitting in this barn that just fell down. So
yeah,
moved out of there and moved up to Indianapolis until we were able to secure the collection to sell.
Yeah, I remember pictures of that when that all happened and people seeing pictures of all these Ferraris with pretty much the barn was gone. It was like it got lifted up. Some of the pieces fell in the cars, but it's such an interesting history and it just goes to prove that there's still cars sitting out there all over the place around the world to be found. What are a couple other cars that are pretty special out of this collection that really piqued your interest?
Going back to like another 275, there's a GTB fixed carb alloy that super special car. They can't remember exactly how many they built. Like it's under 10 in this specification, but that's a super important car and a super rare car. And again, this is probably one that people didn't know still existed. So I can see this car coming out and getting fully restored as well, but it's a proper numbers matching car. It did the Targa Florio in 1966. Like it's got a cool early history. And then just the fact that I haven't seen this one in person. I can't remember if it's original paint or it got painted once, but it's just solid and all there. You know, nothing got taken off these cars. So it's like The gauges are there. The steering wheels are there. There's a toolkit, I think, in the back of the 250 GT that I talked about that's in a wood crate. So when you bought the car from Ferrari, they didn't throw the tool roll in the trunk. They put it in a wood crate and shipped it to you. And this still has the wood crate that, you know, I don't think there's a handful of people that have ever seen one before.
Isn't that incredible? You know, there's another really cool car, a race car, 78 512 BB competition car. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. I mean, it's as raced from the 24-hour Le Mans 1978. It didn't complete it. It retired after three quarters of the way through the race, but essentially been parked since then. And when Kennedy got done with it, you know, it's only on its second private owner. So these cars are starting to come back in popularity. They're becoming increasingly valuable, even from what they were 5 years ago. And I think future potential on these type of cars, especially cars obviously that raced at Le Mans, like the future potential is huge in something like this.
So to go to the other end of the spectrum, you are selling cars from the estate of Terrence Adderley, who collected, oh my gosh, blue chip cars for sure. And going to the other extreme, can we talk a little bit about some of these cars? Because, I mean, there are some amazing things here. Bugatti, Cord, Rolls Royces, Stutz. Where do we begin?
Yeah, I mean, he had one of the best American classics for the most part. He had some, you know, vintage Ferraris and other things, but, you know, his American classics were some of the best in the country. And we were entrusted to secure a group of, I think it was 12 last year in Monterey. And then we sold another collection of them in Amelia Island this past March. And in Monterey again this year, we have another great assortment. I think it's 14 cars in total. You know, the one Duesenberg that he has, I think he had 6 or 8 Duesenbergs overall, but this Model J Tourster by Durham, he purchased this car from us probably 10 years ago, but before that it had been in the same ownership for, I want to say, like 45 years. It was probably painted back in the late 60s, early 70s. It's got great patina. It's a car that I don't see somebody restoring it. I think it's the perfect car for like touring and actually using, but they only built, I don't remember off the top of my head, like 6 Touristers, I think. Like it's a super low production number for this particular body style and got great ownership history. So yeah, I think it was with the previous owner since 1968 until we sold it to Mr. Adderley in 2013. So it's a big deal Duesenberg, you know, it's a beautiful looking Phaeton. It's not the more unpopular sedans or convertible sedans and stuff like that. So it's definitely something people will chase.
Well, yeah, I love the color too. And I was reading the information on that car, really quite interesting because it was owned by a kind of a real life Gatsby type guy, Butler, I think Hollahan out of Philadelphia, and he shipped that car to Italy, and then the World War II happened to appear, and it was hidden under a bunch of hay in a barn during most of the war. I mean, pretty amazing history for a car, but just, I mean, what Duesenberg isn't special, but that one's pretty darn cool.
When you get into the specifics, because it hasn't had a lot of owners, like the reason that this car will bring a premium versus some other ones is because it's still got all the, you know, the original tags are on the car, the original Duesenberg badge on the firewall, the steering wheel, the gauges. It's all that little stuff, just like people are looking at vintage Ferraris. Things didn't get swapped out or get taken off the car and reproduction stuff got put on. So if you really know what you're looking at, it's a very pure car as opposed to some other ones you see out there from time to time. And I think the people that know the difference, that'll be what sees this car bring a strong number in August.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You got a Rolls Royce that has some, I guess, Hollywood history to it.
I don't know much about it. The transformable Phaeton by Hibbard and Darren.
Yep.
You can tell looking at these cars, Hibbard and Darren, they have a very specific design with the windshield and the way that the top drops down between the front and rear windows as well, but yeah. I think it was new for Marlene Dietrich, who the car was originally custom built for. And, you know, I know that it's got a high quality Concours restoration that was done in the last 15 years on it, but I don't know much about, you know, the production numbers on them or how many of these were built, but I do know it's, you know, very limited.
Yeah. Well, no kidding. Yeah. It's an interesting looking car from a Rolls-Royce standard. And you're right. The way that top comes down kind of in a V shape between the front and the back is pretty interesting. Really beautiful dark green color. There's also a 33 Stutz convertible that's pretty special.
Mm-hmm. So in the Stutz world, a DV32 is the ultimate spec. It's the ultimate motor that, you know, you want in one of these cars. And then being this convertible Victoria, the big difference in what changes the value on this car is the windshield on the car. It's very low. It's raked back. And you'll see other cars where people had kind of modified them to look like this. And the fact that this was a factory-built car, that windshield was built exactly as you see it today. Previously, we had sold this car for a very good client of ours who had restored it with a company based out of Chicago. And, you know, it went on to win awards at Pebble Beach and Amelia Island and Meadowbrook as well. And it's kind of top of the pile when it comes to the Stutz world. if you're into these American classics, it doesn't get hardly any better than this.
No kidding. You also have, I think you have three pre-war Bugattis from this collection?
Yeah, I think there's a Type 35.
Yeah.
There's a few earlier ones. They're interesting cars, I think, that rounded out his collection. I know one of them has new coachwork. It's hard to find these cars that are very pure, so I think they'll appeal to somebody that wants to do certain rallies or tours, isn't so much into, you know, the importance of everything matching on the car, but you're obviously looking at a car that's valued at $500,000 or $600,000 versus $4 million. Mm-hmm. But they're both great things for people that want to do tours with them and don't want to kind of lay out the seven-figure plus that it takes to buy one, maybe with a more pure history.
Now, this event is going to be where you typically have it, is the Monterey Conference Center. Do I have the location right?
Yep, that's correct.
Yeah, it's a great venue. We've been doing it there for years. This is going to be August 17th, 18th, and 19th. And again, I'll put links, easy to find, RM Sotheby's Monterey Auction. I'll put links to the website. Any cars I haven't touched on while we're talking here today that you'd like to talk about?
You know, I'd say we're still working on some super important things. So, you know, over the next 2-3 weeks, you'll kind of see what else we have in store for the auction weekend. But it's looking really good. And I think what people see on the site is just kind of the beginning of what we're going to have by the time we get out to Monterey in August.
Very fun. When you look ahead past August, what are some of the auctions coming up later on in the year and maybe even to early next year that you have planned?
We actually have a couple of sales coming up in Switzerland and in Milan, Italy, of a no reserve collection of mainly Porsches that we're going to be selling for one collector. And that's coming up in July. So we have those two sales before we even get to Monterey. But, you know, this fall we have our annual Hershey meet in October during the AACA national meet. And we're going back to Munich, Germany, end of November. We had a super successful sale there last year. And then a couple other kind of interesting things yet to be announced that will be coming up later this year. And then next year we're going to have our new sale down in Coral Gables in Miami, Florida next March. And, nice. You know, that's the show's getting put together really well. And you know, we look forward to inviting all of our clientele to try something new and come down to Miami next March and enjoy it with us down there.
Can't wait for that. And of course, the sale in July of Porsches is pretty special given Porsche's celebrating their 75th anniversary this year. So no doubt you'll have some Porsche fanatics like me showing up for that event to look at what's available. Now, before I let you go today, we always play a little game here. I did this with you last time. If you could pick just one car out of what you guys have coming up, at least that we've talked about today, perhaps, or we know about in August, that I could park in your garage and you could take maybe on a tour, one of these rallies that they have around the country or the world, which car would do it for you?
At the moment, we have a 72 Porsche 911 and RS, but it's called an RS27 pre-series. So it's kind of like the prototype for the RS Touring. Mm. It's super cool. It was originally painted this like neon green when Porsche unveiled the car. They then had to, some reasons back in, I don't know if it was a European law or in Germany, it was like too bright a color. So before they sold it to their first private owner, they had to repaint the car.
Oh no.
But it's come back to us in the original color that it was born and unveiled at. And I kind of am just getting into liking these Porsche RSs. And I think this one is a diamond in the rough. And for somebody like very specific in the Porsche world, I think this is a pretty important car. And I'm kind of curious to see how well it does out there and see it myself in person. But that'd be kind of the one that I'd want to take home and drive around.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting answer, but I like it. And you know, I'm a Porsche guy as well. And that car is pretty darn special. And I wonder if that is that color, would you say, are you familiar with the Porsche color acid green that they came out with recently? In fact, I think it's on their paint to sample list for 911s these days. Is it like that?
I don't have the information in front of me. It's just like that. Or they made an apple green back in the day as well. And it's a, you know, it's like the color of a tennis ball.
Okay.
So I think it's cool. I like these Porsches in these very limited colors, and this one just kind of does it for me.
Yeah, well, no kidding. Well, I would encourage you listeners, even if perhaps you're like me and can't really purchase a $1 million plus car, attending an auction is so exciting. And if you're planning on going to Car Week, which I hope you are, this is definitely one you got to see, because sitting there and you just get caught up in the emotion of the whole thing. It's so much fun. I told this story before. My wife and daughter were never really into cars much, but I took them to Car Week one time, and I've been 32 times now, I think. And I took them to an auction. They were kind of going, "How do we have to go?" I couldn't get them to leave. I mean, they got so excited just watching it and experiencing it. It's kind of like taking somebody to a car race for the first time. If you haven't been to an actual race, you don't know how exciting it could be. So I encourage people to attend the RM Sotheby's auction. If you're anywhere in the world, you guys get it all over the world. So your frequent flyer miles must be quite plentiful. Before I let you go today, is there perhaps a parting thought you could share with people when it comes to buying, selling, and becoming part of the collector car hobby?
Yeah, be driven by what you like and not what other people tell you you should like, or by following, you know, what's the in car to buy at the moment, because that definitely changes, you know, over the years from one car to another. So don't chase something because you think it's going to be a good investment. I think chase what it is that whatever you loved as a kid or you like now, and just buy the best example you can. And obviously, you know, production numbers and colors are important and kind of help with the values, but buy what you like, and hopefully over time, it should look after you.
Well, absolutely. And you said that last time you were on the show, and I love the way you put it. You said, buy the best car you can afford. I'll tell you, that's one of the best pieces of advice I ever got. It's served me well over the years. And as another collector has said, buy the best you can afford and cry only once. Of course, Bruce Meyer quotes that saying. But yeah, do your homework. But the thing you can be assured with RM Sotheby's is they've done the homework for you. You can buy a car from them, and I can tell you, they know what they're doing. They've been around forever. I mean, 26 years doing this in Monterey. So congratulations to you and your team and everybody there. I'll put links to all of the RM Sotheby's auction information on Agord's show notes page, or they're easy to find at rmsotheby's.com. I want to do a shout out. Thank you to your fellow colleagues, Ethan and Kate. They're the ones that got us together again today. So Ethan, Kate, thanks for setting this up. Gord, thanks for taking a pit stop here during a very busy time in your life. I can't wait to see you in Monterey. Until we talk again, I'll see you at the RM Sotheby's auction in Monterey.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
You're welcome. This was great. If you're listening to this program, there's a pretty good chance you believe what I believe, that the collector vehicles we love are more than just a means of getting from one place to the other. They're a part of our culture, our identity, and as a people, they bring us together at vintage races, classic car auctions, and thousand-mile rallies. That's why I support the RPM Foundation, which exists to ensure that the critical skills necessary to preserve and restore these important vehicles aren't lost to time. RPM stands for Restoration, Preservation, and Mentorship, and their goal is to inspire the next generation of vehicle restoration professionals through its outreach programs, and they include Shop Hop, Off to the Races, the RPM Future Class, and many others. These programs engage talented young people across the country and connect them with mentors and a variety of opportunities in the industry. For more information on how the RPM Foundation is driving the future of collector vehicles skill trade, visit rpm.foundation today. Did you know that Cars Yeah is in the top 1% of all podcasts based on listenership, according to Libsyn, the premier RSS feed for podcasts in the United States? That's right. And Cars Yeah is the only 5-day-a-week automotive-focused podcast for you to get your message into the ears of thousands of listeners daily from all over the world. Plus, DuPont Registry recommended Cars Yeah as one of their top 10 car podcasts for you to enjoy. Cars Yeah has experienced tremendous growth. Plus, your ads are evergreen, meaning they never go away. And more listeners find Cars Yeah every day for their daily dose of automotive inspiration. Do you want to expose your brand to a highly targeted list of automotive enthusiasts in a very unique and very personal way? Well, I can help you. Contact me, Mark Green, at mark@carsyeah.com or through the website at carsyeah.com today to learn more.
Thank you so much for joining us on today's ride here at Cars Yeah. Drive on over to carsyeah.com to find show notes and inspiring automotive fun. Download your free copy of Filler Up, a fun book filled with gorgeous photographs of fuel filler fun, including quotes from more inspiring automotive enthusiasts. Download your copy today, and we'll see you next time on Cars Yeah!